He's got a purple map and has more of them. It's just a point stand for that. She's under.
We'll have to go to your shop.
She back?
So now tell you what you need.
Where is it, Peggy?
It's on the chair right here by Sandy.
Would you like me to do this?
It's right there.
We need to move that to the center.
I'd want to move in the center. It's always. We'll have to sell that real quick, Sandy. This is a real sensitive tape recorder, so we use this for the budget hearings.
Well, we start off with it. Probably we aren't going to hear this above, except it's going to be recorded. Is that what you're thinking? Because we can hear each other here. Why don't we just go around quickly and introduce ourselves and we can start here.
I'm Hal Prisher from South Beach, Jetty Road.
Yes, sir.
Go ahead and Chuck.
Chuck Fornash, property owner in South Beach, 35th and Chestnut area.
Janet Webster, I'm on the budget committee.
Marion Bosa, Hatfield Marine Science Center.
Joyce Gaffin, individual property owner in on Southwest 29th Street in the Coho Brand neighborhood.
You can pass it on.
You can pass. We know all the counselors.
Carl Reddick, I have some property in South Beach. I'm not sure where it is. And so what street goes up to the community college? Is that
35th?
40. So just below 40.
Didn't pick it all up.
Rich Virginia, property in South Beach.
Dennis Fry, property owner in South Beach.
You got the rest of us we already know, I think. Okay. Right on here. All right, great. I appreciate you all coming out, and I expected a bigger crowd, or we would have liked to have a bigger crowd, but at least we had notified everybody out here. And let me start off. I know Carl was one of the property owners that we didn't have a meeting with the majority of the people from 40th to basically about 60th. All met at one time, and they gave input with myself and Councilor Beamer. And then so we heard a lot about what they were liking, and I think that we also needed to hear from anybody else who wants to give us input for these projects that may be coming up or may have to be rephased. And as Derek indicated, that a concern I have, and I think most of our people have, is that we're down to what, 425,000 left in phase one, and we have some projects that would be coming up as listed in the budget. Are those the most important ones? Maybe you'd like to hear from folks about that, or how much of it should be going in that direction. So why don't I start off with anybody, you want to go, Chuck? Or?
I just have a general comment about, for example, the OMSI project. When I heard that it was happening, I thought, well, that's kind of a neat thing. My first thought was, is that on or off the tax rolls? Because that's 15 acres of R4 property within the district. It is the type of thing that drives the income engine that Urban Renewal counts on. And I assume that it's off the tax rolls. And it just seems like as the Urban Renewal has been in existence, there are a lot of projects that have benefited areas outside the tax area or properties that are not tax generating. And so that was something that just popped to mind. I don't know if you guys have talked any about the pros and cons of that, but I know Derek and I have spoken about it a little bit. It is an area of concern, I guess.
Okay, why don't you go, do you have anything you came prepared?
Well, can you tell us where that 15 acres is on the map before we go any farther?
Yes. Here's the indication, I may better talk into this. This would be the continuation of Abalone Street, and then here is 35th, right here. So this would be a commercial rezoned area here, and behind here is R4 zone, and that's, I assume that they purchased majority of it.
Basically buying everything west of Abalone Extended, so it'd be all this here.
So, and I, how many folks think?
Yes.
How many
people
are
driving?
Let's see, 250 in that range.
So,
that'd
be 250 Councilors there at all different times of the year, I was amazed.
Yeah, we haven't received a detail out there.
Well, that's the feature. And here would be their route up to the hill. And currently, we have an engineer of record, I think.
Yes.
Okay. And so the next phase, they'll be looking at identifying if this property is substantial enough in case of a tsunami, will it be there and not fall apart, basically. Then they'll know what to do next in phasing. Any other questions with regard to the map?
I just had a question for what Carl said. The Home Depot property that used to be, was that part of the OMSI portion as well?
It would have been, yes.
So basically, that property would be out for a Home Depot then?
No.
If that project had moved, well, this piece would still be available, but my suspicion is this piece would be too small.
Is that large enough for a Home Depot?
No. How many acres would be left in that?
This commercial piece? That's probably about 11 acres, something like that.
It was a split zoning anyway, too. It was R4 and commercial. Right. It was a rezoning variance.
But I guess one thing that brings to mind is when you dice it up, when you cut the property up that way, then you do limit your commercial development potential, as has just been alluded to.
And if I remember right, part of the Home Depot thing, even though it was split zoning, is correct, is you can have parking lots in R4, and I think they had their locations where they could have used some of that R4 in their parking configuration. It's been a lot of years ago. I don't remember for sure, but I think that was correct.
And I think they were looking to zone some of that R4 to commercial at the time.
I think you're right.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's not get bogged down on what Home Depot was doing, but
okay. I just wanted to say that we don't have a lot. We don't have any control over a land sale deal that's being generated by someone else. I mean, if they choose to sell that property to OMSI, we have no choice but to let that be entitled to them, and then how they proceed with that is up to them.
It sounds like there's a little bit of wiggle room as far as what OMSI might be required to do relative to the development of Abalone. So if you're going to lose all that, then I hope you'd gain back a substantial amount on that.
Thank you. Mr. Mayor, I'd just like to comment on that. I don't agree with that at all, because if the city can encourage OMSI to do that, or the city can discourage OMSI to do that. And just as Derek's presentation tonight, if you would say, no, we're not going to put a few hundred thousand dollars in to buy the hill to do that, OMSI, he said, would probably walk away. So the city may not sign on any dotted lines, but the city has a great deal of input on what they will do. And I think it would be disingenuous to the public to suggest that. And I'm not trying to be hard when I say that.
No, that's true. You're right.
But it is a part of the whole process. Yes, David.
I think that's going to pick me up. You know what? I think the issues we discussed before that Chuck and you and Mark had brought up is, and this gets to what happened on the Northside District. When you're putting in public infrastructure projects like water and sewer and streets, there are times when you're putting those projects in place in areas surrounded by publicly owned property. So even though you're enhancing the ability of that publicly owned property to gain the benefit of that, you're not, and you're probably increasing real property values, it's not going to be coming back to the urban renewal district. There's other projects in which you're enhancing streets, water, and sewer that go to privately owned property, which does enhance the tax revenue coming back. So for instance, Marine Science Drive project, that enhanced the Marine Science Center, it enhanced the Port District, it enhanced NOAA. It did a nice job enhancing those properties, but guess what? If those properties increase in value, is it coming back to the urban renewal district? No. If you actually put those infrastructure projects towards privately owned property, which increases the property value and increases housing and so forth, are you going to increase the property values that's going to come back to the district? Yes. So philosophically, you got two choices. Are you putting infrastructure towards publicly owned properties that are going to benefit, or are you putting it towards privately owned properties that benefit? The countervailing argument to the publicly owned properties is, if you're actually providing that infrastructure towards the publicly owned properties, what you would hope is, even though you're not getting a realization and increased property tax back into the city, maybe you're enhancing economic development generally for the city, which might not have property tax
implications for the city's budget, but it might have economic development potential for the city generally. So there's a lot of variables, and that's kind of how you have to look at these things conceptually.
Okay, who else? Joyce had something.
I'll wait until.
Okay, Carl, you're down there. Go ahead and say something about your, what you think you might look, you've got property, maybe say what your vision.
I just came here because, you know, I guess there was a previous city manager, and we met with him, and, you know, they had a whole list of stuff they were going to do, and none of it got done, and I guess most of the money went off to the Marine Science Center, which is fine with me, but, you know, I just came down here to encourage the development of this infrastructure. I mean, my goodness, trails are nice, and interpretive centers are nice and stuff, but if we're going to develop that place, let's get these sewers and water lines and roads in as our very highest priority. I mean, it just doesn't make any sense to, you know, keep patching these systems. And that's what I came here to hear about. I'm not sure what all the projects are. I'm still not clear on the priority. I mean, I saw the PowerPoint, but, I'm late to the game.
Yeah, go ahead and introduce yourself, too.
Do I need this?
Yeah. Well, she's reporting.
Okay. My name is Joe Hurd. I'm a property owner in South Beach. Been in Newport for a while, not the county. I work a lot, and I get late sometimes, so excuse me if I arrive late. And just wanted to say, I saw the urban renewal about South Beach, and I just wanted to put in my two cents worth, which is driving through there at all times of the year, the water drainage needs to be addressed. And I think it needs to be looked at in a global sense, because they put in things that they go back to development, like the basin next to South Beach Valley. You know, it was in the wrong place, the drainage. You know, you only got like a foot and a half, 2 feet for a lot of acres. So someone saying it's just going to be all right needs to be looked at, because roads are built, drainage is built, and it's an inch or two off, and that makes a big difference in South Beach area.
Huge.
Yeah, and the drains aren't big enough because your slope is so little. They're at, what is that, Orca, or Surf Sound, this drilling mark, that little 6 inch or something. Actually, they didn't even have anything on their side of the road, so it was completely flooded. So there's very little drainage in that area, so I think it should be looked at in a global sense. I should think it should be oversized because there's very little slope. And then just other things in the infrastructure is the gas line, natural gas line ends at South Shore on the wrong side of the street. There's a little area where I am. It's industrial business there on Southeast 62nd. And I think Dennis Fry is building a new shop next to me. There's other businesses going in. It's going very good.
Yeah, it's coming in. Don't worry about it. I'm bringing it in.
Right, but I'm just saying that. Well, you're bringing in the gas?
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. So,
at no charge. So.
Cool. And then water lines. Just that infrastructure in general is, I think, just needs to be looked at. We're in a sand pile. You know, so the drainage and the infrastructure is important now. So anyway, thank you.
Yeah, thank you.
Congratulations.
Yeah.
I think David put it really well a little bit ago. It's a real balancing act where you put your dollars. I really like the private sector because I'm in the private sector. With that said, I really like what has been done with the Science Center Drive. I think that was needed, and it's great in the way the path goes on out the jetties. I like that a lot. I like the money going into the private sector, because I think the city gets more back and it draws other businesses, and we need jobs. You know, what I wanted to say tonight was more administrative probably than one project over another. And I think we have to remember what drives economy, and it's jobs, and it's housing, and it's new businesses coming to town. And I remember, I was sharing this with Jim, city manager, and I remember in the 80s when we went through the recession, that the Oregonian wrote that we were one of the brightest shining stars in the Oregon economy. And we had, and that was Colson, I think, was the mayor at that time, and Don was the city manager. And they really told the state, we don't care what you, how you want us to do things. If we get somebody that wants to do something in our city, we're going to do it. We're going to find a way to do it. And I would just like to encourage the mayor and the city manager and Derek in planning to think about that a little bit, rather than having the state totally dictate every step that we have to do always. Because we drive away potential growth and potential development by doing that. And I know sometimes that's really hard. But that's what made us get through that recession and not be impacted the way other cities were. And that was something when the Oregonian wrote that. I think that's really important to have maybe big signs on everybody's desk is, we can do that for you. You know, or let us know what we can do. I think that's incredibly important. I like the way this city, I've been here since 1976, I like the way this city listens to its residents. I like the way you're looking at South Beach, because that's really our next piece of area that we're going to grow and develop is in South Beach. And there's not much more available. I really would like to ask the city to really keep its thoughts open, because there's a lot of rumors of entities looking at us right now, and we might have to juggle a few things around to make them work. And I just ask that the city really, really, maybe even have a meeting in some way and say, let's try to make it easy for people that want to come to town. And that's probably going to be, and I'm sorry I'm taking so long, but this is really on my heart. This means that you're really probably going to have some fights that you don't want to fight. One of my clients, Paul Lawson, has been working for multiple years out bought the old wood property. And just to get a wetlands, and it was all minor wetlands permit, he's got over $150,000 in that. It should have been simple. I mean, it's absolutely, and we have to, DEQ is causing problems. And I know you all know this, but this is something as a city, I think we need to start in saying, we'll help you and we'll work with the government agencies. I know I've written letters to the representatives of our area, and I know YBEEF has been very forceful in that. And I think a lot of the government agencies are, but I just ask that you continue to do that, because we're getting beat up when we try to do something by agencies. It's just, it's really hard. Thank you for listening.
Yeah, thank you. Gus?
Well.
Tell us what you're doing.
Yeah.
Hi, Joe. Well, I haven't been a part of this process at all, so, but I heard about this meeting, and I've heard a few street names mentioned. I'm on 62nd, same as Joe, which is directly across from South Shore. I don't know where 60th is.
Don't know either.
It's two blocks up.
Two blocks up.
South Beach, that's kind of the line sometimes.
That must be southwest. Little footpath.
Right. Yeah.
That must be southwest. We're on the other side.
Yeah.
Well, if you were to put one in, it would be a certain distance.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it's just a right-of-way right now?
Probably.
Just flat in some place.
Yeah.
Piece of paper.
So
across a wetland.
Yeah.
That is going to happen.
It's all swamp.
So the part that I'm interested in, and it is basically because I'm developing a little commercial piece of property or industrial piece, and we have water there. We are going to have natural gas in the area. But sewer is an issue that I think 35th to, what was it, 50th? No, 40th to 50th is going to be developed along the highway. I'm assuming that's a trunk line along the highway of some sort, right? And then there's mention of a line going all the way to the airport. Does that mean along 101?
Well, there's two, one plan is to go along with 101. Will Emery will have a line behind you somewhere. I don't know if your, what elevation it is to tie in.
Uh-huh.
That'd be another potential location.
When that line is put in, is that a requirement of landowners then to connect to the line at?
Generally, I think our ordinance states if you're within
250 feet
of a sewer line, you would be
of a main line.
Main line, right. So you would be currently going to be what?
50 feet from 101.
All right.
Is that what you, we're going to ask?
Yeah, it depends on how close you're going to be. That'll be years off, perhaps. We don't know when that line's coming
which
in.
Which side of the road would it be on?
It'd be on that side.
Oh, east side.
It'd be on this
side. Yeah.
So what do you do with the water line?
The water line's going to have to cross over, so at South Shore.
Isn't the water line on the east side right now?
No. I don't think it is. But, well, our water line goes to South Shore. It
oh, okay.
just stops
you
there.
Follow through the park. Then.
Right.
Okay.
It has, I don't think it crosses. You have water, so you must have Seal Rock
water
line.
Formerly.
It must come down. It probably comes down 101 then. It's just probably an 8-inch line.
The city just took it over in years.
Yeah. So that was my concern, just is like whether that was possibly going along 101.
Are you in city limits or unincorporated?
We're kind of...
Well, you're in city limits, but are you incorporated or county or city?
County. That's a county. That side of the street.
Okay. At least you're all in the urban growth boundary. I mean, the urban renewal district.
Yeah, I'm sure.
One more thought, and Derek, you may have an answer to this. A few years ago, there was a water pressure issue in South Beach, and I don't know with the city taking over some of what was Seal Rock, but you're familiar with my piece of property. It's on the corner of...
That's part of the water master plan was another storage tank. When we were looking at the new plant, there was the plan for another storage tank in South Beach to keep the water pressure up as growth increased. Yeah.
And that's something that I don't know, I imagine everybody's aware of, but I had sold part of my property to the county, I don't know, 6-7 years ago, and they were going to put a transition center there. There were two things that ended up stopping it, so I bought the property back from the county, is that... one was their funding, and second was that there wasn't enough water pressure for the required sprinkling system. And so that will be an issue that will need to be addressed in that area as time goes on.
And I know that's in the water plan, the master plan.
Didn't Wilder kind of facilitate some changes there?
Well, they added a water tower tank, I think, up by Wilder, I believe. And then the pressure has gone up dramatically up Idaho Point Road area. And then the other problem is as much water pressure, a lot of times it's a water flow. If the water pipe isn't large enough, you can't get 1,500 gallons a minute for the flow. Yeah.
When you have they had to have a pump in to pump through the water, the sprinkling system, and it wasn't enough flow.
But now you mostly will have one out there his location.
Yeah, I think with Emory's project, that 40th Street area should be.
That may have been, that was my question. I didn't know if that was taken care of now, but I know that stopped that development.
Well, what they're going to be doing is coming down, redoing the line from 40th all the way to 50th along 101. Tim is going now I just talked to him before I left on vacation, is getting the surveyors and the legalese to come to the property owners and say, here's where we would like to have it. Some of it's going to be a direction board, some will be ditched, depending on what kind of improvements will be inside the right-of-way of the ODOT. So it'll be...
What happens from 35th to 40th? Where did that project disappear to?
35th to 40th.
Yeah, that would be the college.
Ash Street.
The college turnoff is 35th.
No, it's 40th.
40th.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, 40th is...
So you're on the other side.
Just north of 40th.
I'm on the north side of 40th.
Yeah, he's the north side. There's actually a 12-inch line on the west side of 40th, and then there'll be a trunk line that'll be attached, and I assume there must be one on 40th, maybe perhaps down Ash. You can come in. They have a water system master plan, and you can see... But there has to be a big line going up 40th, right, Jim? So, let's see.
Joyce, you didn't...
Yeah, I have some...
But now, without getting too much detail...
No, I'm not talking about this right now. I'm going to talk about the Cola Brandt neighborhood, for which we did have a meeting at the South Beach Community Center. Hal, you were at that meeting when we talked about the roads and what was going to happen in the our neighborhood, what is called the Coho Brandt neighborhood. So I would like to come out to say, as far as that neighborhood where people live, is that we need a storm drainage system in that neighborhood, because there is none.
Well, actually,
and originally it was...
Let me correct a little bit. There is a storm drainage system plan, but it just isn't implemented yet.
Well, if I may be wrong, but the storm drainage plan that was paid for several times, I believe, actually was based on bringing a 3-foot-wide pipe through the coastal ravine down through across 29th Street and out into the bay, when there was all the discussion of Home Depot coming to the R4 land on the west side of the highway. There may be another storm drainage plan that I don't know about, but that was all a big, huge connection for which there is an easement across that big field, and there already is a pipe that was put in, that the city paid for the pipe, that was put in on the piece of land that is opposite the lots that are underneath the big condo on the dunes and right across 30th Street from the property that the city purchased and is conserved in perpetuity. So if there is a plan, a drainage plan, and it was anything that was done before the city has purchased and put the conservation easement on those three lots, then that plan wasn't actually serviceable in the first place, because you can't drain all of that through a place where you only have, where the water table is only 2.5 feet.
Right.
So, I mean, that was the plan anyway. And if there has been a plan done since then, has there been?
Fill you in. I think, and I talked with David Wheeler, who did the project down the condominiums down closer
mm-hmm.
to the bay there, and mm-hmm. his concern also, along with Carl's and all, is drainage. You have to have drainage first before you do pretty much anything, and you can't do it. He suggested not to do it piecemeal and just do it, you know, step by step, mm-hmm. so you have a plan to go with. Because they actually had to come in and do it all themselves, and they had to go almost. They were concerned about having to go past their property line to do all this. So I would think with maybe a review of what our water master plan would be a good idea.
Actually, 10 years ago, when I was last on the council, we did the storm drainage plan. And I remember you and some others were there, and this was the last plan I'm aware of. And I know this was something done about 10 years ago. And I can't remember who was doing it. I think it was CH2 and Hill.
It was. And also,
they
redid it three times because they kept taking the drainage system to a high point. So they didn't get with the topographical map. And so then in the end, it was coming through the ravine and down Coho.
I would say, Joyce, I remember the discussion, well, I'm trying to go back in memory here. A big part of that discussion was not necessarily how to plan the actual physical components of the plan. A lot of our discussion was, how are we going to pay for it? Whether a storm drainage taxing district or urban renewal or the city budget. And I remember, again, this was 10 years ago, we were still talking about how are we going to pay for something like this. There was a lot of it had to do with how the plan would maybe be put in place from a physical aspect, mm-hmm. but the topic of our discussion was, we realized that probably would change over time, but how to pay for it was the number one discussion we had.
Well, my point with the Coho Brandt neighborhood is that it's a little place unto itself, and it wouldn't be that hard to put in a drainage system at the same time one buried the lines, and then that would be taken care of because it doesn't actually hook up well with the, you know, it, with Highway 101, the drainage that all of you were talking about, which is all really important, but it still ends up that that little neighborhood doesn't, isn't on the radar screen for drainage.
So what I'm hearing is probably a good idea for us to come back and maybe have staff or engineering department look at, see if it's adequate, and then like David mentions, how do you pay for it? But then perhaps the first thing that you do when you develop property is you put in your drainage system so that you don't, it'd be nice to put in overhead wires down and all that, and lights and streets, and but the first thing is drainage, and that's how you get kickstart things. And since we have very little money,
I would
might
go
be the
for the drainage
idea.
And there. Jeff, if I remember, one of the listed items in the storm drainage plan that was mentioned that could pay for storm drainage improvements, not only in Joyce's neighborhood but other neighborhoods, was River Renewal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that was
right,
that was
and that was part of actually the asphalting of the existing road was also part of the urban renewal, the original urban renewal discussion plan for that area.
Well, this is what's good about, that's why we gathered all you guys together, is to see what areas in the private sector, most all of the monies in the past have gone towards port property, basically. So I think that's why we're here, and to see if there's any phasing.
A question for Derek. Derek, in here, in the budget this year, we have the $70,000 Coho Brand neighborhood planning project. That's not looking at, it's looking more at traffic flow and streetscape. It has storm drains in it too.
Yeah, that would be part of it.
Oh, okay, good.
Great, that's good.
So there will be an update of the plan that we have already.
Right.
As a part of that budget.
Okay. Correct, and one of the reasons I haven't been particularly aggressive in pushing that plan is we've got an active TSP update going on in this same neighborhood right now. I'm trying not to have two issues get convoluted, but
when you
that's
say,
part of the reason.
I don't mean to interrupt, sorry. When you say the same neighborhood, however, I think that you're including the Abalone Street district. Are you not?
The Abalone?
Yeah, the whole Abalone Street district. It's like the Coho Brand, like area has
you're thinking widened, more
residential. Right? So are you talking about just the neighborhood between Coho and Brand?
No,
you're talking about the whole shebang that was formerly called actually the Home Depot land or the the Investors 12 land,
right.
Correct?
Yes. And okay. Basically, I'm thinking everything west of the highway and north of 40th. Although, to be honest, if OMSI moves forward, they're going to pretty much map out everything that's going to be happening on that residential piece anyway. But it does have implications to drainage and things of that nature. For example, if that OMSI development happens, that's 15 acres we're not going to see R4 high-density residential on. That has a big difference in terms of the amount of drainage, particularly if they infiltrate almost everything on their site. So.
Right,
you know,
but
it's
still
going to have some influence on it. It's probably not going to be the focus of the planning effort, but it's going to be part of the planning effort.
But the TSBC part of it that you mentioned is actually doesn't play a part in the improvement of the drainage in the little neighborhood in which I live. It has to do, the TSBC part that you're mentioning in the middle and wanting to do in tandem is the part that's closest to 101, correct? Not, I mean, we don't have a TSPC issue, I don't think, in a little neighborhood.
TSP.
TSP. TSPC is what
it's TSPC is teacher standards
practice. Oh, right, thank you. I knew it.
The transportation system plan is
really strong.
I'm sorry.
You're well versed with that group, man.
Uh-huh. And it's about highway mobility, but it also is about the development capacity, basically, of all of the developable properties down here. Because if we don't get a more favorable standard on the highway, it's going to be very hard for privately held properties to develop their full potential. all I was saying is, if with both processes going at the same time, that's you know, a good chance of confusing the two with folks.
Uh-huh.
But that's why I haven't been pushing the whole grant that hard right now.
Maybe our engineering department sounds like more they would be the nuts and bolts, and he's the overall planning portion. They can look at it and maybe give a little better update to us and the neighborhood there. Is there any other?
I was just going to point out, because you were talking about stormwater, that, and I didn't put it here, but in the phase two, for example, which is 2013 to 2016, there's 350,000 that was earmarked to existing street right-of-way improvements, which can include stormwater, but also include paving and potentially bike ped or landscaping, but stormwater is a piece of that. So there are pieces of these projects where they're kind of general,
mm-hmm.
and it was intentional, because I don't think they knew exactly what those would be. But that's an opportunity, mm-hmm. for example, in the coming years, if there's a specific stormwater project, Urban Renewal may be able to fund some portion of it. And the same happens in phase three. That same existing street right-of-way improvements line item is about just under 850,000. So there are some opportunities in the future mm-hmm. phase.
And what about, can I ask about the $850,000 for the Coho Branch area construct? Is that like allocated already? Mm-hmm. Is that part of, no? Okay, so just the 70,000 is for the study is allocated.
Mm-hmm.
So where does the money like that come from?
It's not around just yet. You'd have to wait till your increment district would grow. And that's perhaps why the items like your storm allows you to develop properties. Without it, you can't drain your property. You have other problems, and like 101, they, at least on the east side, they've indicated there's no wetland issue on the trench. So that is good. But other areas that are impacted, the highway on the west side, for example, is there's areas where they can't widen the highway, they can, but they have a little ditch problem. So that's where monies were set aside for wetland mitigation, maybe to buy property out of our area and be able to develop it that way. And I know the Marine Science is having grief over just having a little trail on filled land that has been silted in, and the Fish and Game like to give you grief over that. But
we also have some essential fish habitat.
Yeah. Good. Essential. Yeah. It used to be a lot more when it was water. It's now it's all mud. But yeah, go ahead, Al.
The from your house across that Fogarty property, I know we owned that at one time, and Lee Schroeder owns it now, who's my partner. We put an easement in across there, and it seemed like there was a line put through there. Maybe the line was never put in, but there's an easement for
the
whole of the corner where you live, all the way down to
that corner of 27.
So there is. The right of way is there. Is
right across.
Putting it in.
Right. Well, so there's right actually across that property that is short. It's a big piece.
Yeah.
There is. But the city also, they put in a 3-foot pipe when Don Causey removed the dune, changed the dune, took the trees down, and denuded all of those lots. He also buried a pipe. A 3-foot wide pipe in that land that Rob Foss still owns, that because at the time the plan was to bring that 3-foot pipe and drain all of the R4 area on the other side of the hill through the ravine and then through Foss's one where the pipe is and then down 29th Street and, like you say, catty corner across that property.
I think that we don't want to get too much into details because we're all. It's interesting, but
I just wanted to mention the drainage in my neighborhood.
I just wanted to. You touched on a little bit about something else that, we'll catch you out there.
No, that's fine.
The drainage is important, but did I miss anything on paving, or did you say something about money for paving or roads?
Well, we're working on a
62nd.
I know it's not. No, currently, historically, I guess that they've always looked at leveraging funds, even citywide for that matter. And let's say you have a 62nd is all gravel currently. And then if you were to make sure that the drainage would be put in somewhere, they know where it's going to go.
Right.
I don't know what you have to, have you had any requirements by county? Probably not.
For drainage?
No, well, drainage, but also road, asphalt or anything?
Nope.
Okay.
No.
Yeah. I don't think the county requires it, and I'm not sure where our requirement is.
It's a unmaintained, the county doesn't maintain that road.
It's a private maintenance road.
Yeah, with no agreement.
Wow.
I guess.
Okay.
But I'm in a low spot, and it's quality concrete goes into big trucks and blows up potholes, and then they fill them with concrete and then build it up.
Yeah.
Me and my neighbor, John, is it? Fisherman is at the gear shed. We're slowly getting in the heavy storms.
Yeah. Well, I think that's important, and that's good to bring these things up, because if you don't, historically, always that urban renewal hasn't, it's been reactive instead of proactive. Except for maybe certain things like, you know, NOAAs. But generally, they come to us, and you're indicating items.
So, Jeff, I mean, I guess I just have an idea here. So, I mean, I'm hearing all the feedback here from some of the folks in the South Beach District, and I guess the question I have is, if we're looking at things that we might want to adjust through a minor amendment, meaning moving projects from maybe phase two or three into phase one, then the question I have is, what are those projects? And we have to look at that in the context of we have $450,000 left for the next 2 years. So we're not going to be able to look at all the projects over the course of the next 10 years. But my feeling is, since we have a limited amount of money right now, $450,000 over the next 2 years, the question I ask myself is, do we want to spend that outright on projects, or do we want to actually fold that in to what's going to be coming in 2014 and add that to the money available for additional bonding capacity? If we want to actually spend that $450,000 over the next 2 years, then we have to ask ourselves, what projects do we want to spend it on? So what I'm looking at is, number one, a policy decision by the Urban Renewal Agency as to whether they want to use that $450,000 over the next 2 years, or they don't want to use it and actually wait until 2014 and use it for that capacity. Or if we do want to use it, then I want to get feedback from the community as to what are the projects they would like to see that $450,000 spent towards over the next two fiscal years, and are some of those projects already in phase one, or are some of those going to have to be moved from phase two or phase three into phase one, which would then require a minor amendment. Well, I mean, that's procedurally kind of how I'm looking at it.
You'd have to move things from phase one out too, though.
Whatever works, but changing things around. So, I mean, that kind of the way, because we're looking at a two-year period here, and that seems to be the most, I guess, relevant time period for some of these projects that I'm hearing about. So that's just my thought.
Go ahead.
I would like to address one of those short-term projects, tsunami evacuation for the South Beach Peninsula. We have hundreds of people working there now, over 500. And then with visitors, we could potentially have thousands of people there on any given day. And our evacuation point historically had been the roadway at the base of the bridge. That's just about 50 feet. And now, you know, the agencies are really increasing that number as to what the ideal evacuation should be, certainly over 50 feet. I don't think they've officially changed it yet, but we're looking at a higher elevation. The hill is 80 plus feet on top. Is that right?
Yeah, it's something like that.
Yeah. So right now that hill is pretty much inaccessible unless you know the little trail that goes up one side, or you can get around to the other side and scramble up to the existing road. Most of our staff consider that hill to be inaccessible, and it is definitely a stress point. Now, there's two pieces to getting people successfully evacuated. One is to have the pathway for them to get up there and for them to know what that is, and the other is to have them actually mobilize and get themselves moving in the event of an earthquake. So we're working really hard on that outreach part of it. We've had an annual drill for many years, but a lot of people have dropped out of that, and we're now trying to really increase the interest and do a lot more outreach and make sure people are prepared with the understanding that there might be some infrastructure, there might be some supplies when you get up there, but you've got to get yourself ready, you've got to have your own plan, and you've got to get moving we have just about enough time to get up there. We've got NOAA on as part of the Hatfield Marine Science Center, then we have the new NOAA facility that's even further out there. Both of that group is working on their new plan, and NOAA headquarters just sent down a request for information. Are you guys prepared? Do you know where you're going? Do you have what you need? And they were able to say, you know, well, the city's working on this infrastructure. So that's very important to us. And if the whole project can't be done at once, then we should be breaking that out and looking at what we can do now and how we're going to phase that. But that is something short-term that we're interested in.
And it's, and I know Joyce has expressed interest in clearing a pathway on one of our rights of way, too. For a tsunami, and I think that your folks there, you know, you've got some expertise. We're having to spend money to get an engineering study. We've got probably a bunch of geologists sitting there. But anyhow, that we're looking at, like he's doing for a grant. So I think that would be, if they were just a gravel road up there, and then, of course, the drill just offer free hot dogs up on top, they'll come.
Oh, they're
the drill beer.
They're
beer. Beer would do it. From Rogue. We put up a Rogue beer, they'll do it.
The problem is, Jeff, is that the road's currently undersized. It's that many more minutes around the hill to get up there. They need to have a way to get up there.
They might, but as I looked at it, it's pretty doggone steep, so if they can climb, but they'll get a lot of adrenaline, I'm sure they'll get up there.
Yeah. What?
Janet, you have something?
I think step back a little bit. And hearing about Coho Brant, that area is actually pretty well built up now and has had a lot of development in it. It still does need drainage.
Right.
But in terms of urban renewal income, it's one of the areas that has gotten more developed in the last 5 to 8 years with residential. I would suggest that we really need to look strategically at 101 and how we're developing from 40th Street South or from 35th Street South. It's partly ODOT is going to, whether we like it or not, is going to restrict our ingress egress off of 101. So how do we kind of cluster and really encourage development maybe at those nodes? The 40th node, the 35th Street node, the 50th Street, and it might not be 60th, it might be
62nd.
which are kind of natural areas. And I think that's my concern. I really don't want to see, if we put in sewer and water down there, a solid strip. I think that we can do a better job of promoting development, but doing it in a way that makes a nice gateway to the city.
Jim, I just got a question. When you go up 40th Street towards, and maybe Derek has the answer, to it. When you go up 40th Street towards the college, what kind of elevation do you get when you get back towards the end of, like the PUD property?
There's a sign right on the east corner of the PUD property that says leaving tsunami hazard zone.
Okay, I knew it was pretty,
yeah.
And the reason I asked that is we could, I live on my boat the last 6 years, so I'm really, I have all of the warnings coming in through my internet, so, excuse me. That hill probably won't be developed tomorrow. And if there was something that happened, to me it seems like we really ought to get out the message to head up Ash Street, turn left, and just keep going so you don't block the people behind you.
That is the evacuation point for the aquarium. Yeah,
but I mean,
the Science Center is another half a mile, and so the timing
so it's further
is
further
the
up.
Feeling mm-hmm. is that they
the walk.
Well, I understand, but I mean, if something happened tomorrow,
right.
the hill isn't available.
Right.
And I don't hear, and maybe it's just something that needs to get in the paper or around here. I think that would satisfy a lot of entities if they said.
And I think the Red Cross is going to have it designated as a.
I think college was going to be involved.
College is working.
Sawyer needs notes, but it's one of those processes.
Well, let's not get too bogged down on tsunami evacuation right
but
now.
But I think it's important.
Well,
yeah.
Full mile from the Hatfield Marine Science Center and quite a bit more from the NOAA.
Oh, I'm not saying stop the one.
We don't consider it to be a viable evacuation route, and we don't.
If something happened tomorrow, I would suggest that you consider it real viable. I mean, I'm just being
honest. It's the ultimate spot that you go to, but the immediate one, if you have 10 minutes, is.
Yes, sir.
Janet, this is to ask you in thinking about the development south. From 40th. Are you including the airport? Is that kind of what you're thinking is the ultimate
You're saying...
Like that, would you think about that as a block out to there?
I think of the airport as being way out of town. I mean, that is
that's
another...
South, South Beach.
It's another economic development zone. I think, again, it's depending on what you can do with private enterprise on public land. We do need, as Chuck said, we need to generate some tax income. And that's why I think it's more, there seems to be more, maybe more energy, more interest in what's really going on right on 101.
Right.
But I haven't seen an airport plan.
There's a loop plan that the ODOT would like to see developed. We don't have the map up here, but they would like to have back streets off of 101 and then tie things in from 40th to 50th. And I would like to promote an idea from basically 50th to 40th, just west of the Mike Miller Trail, and perhaps even purchase property directly near Ash, so that it's all taken care of instead of waiting for something that might happen.
The old railroad bed is still there.
It's still there.
It's
still viable.
It
yes.
So I just want to add something to what was said before about what David said and how we have to make a decision, you know, make decisions on what we can do with what we have and what are the most important things. And notwithstanding the drainage in my neighborhood, I have to agree with Mary Ann that that's not a side issue. Tsunami evacuation, if there's one issue that is the most prevalent, it is tsunami evacuation that should be handled like...
Well, it's in the budget. They're working on it, so it's not like it's not being handled. It just has to take steps. They have to hire the engineer, so we're working. It isn't.
But is the money...
The money is already budgeted.
Oh, okay. I'm sorry. I didn't...
When it came up about deferring, I just, for clarification, about taking that $450,000 and deferring it, that tsunami planning is a different pot of money.
Right. Yes, it's already been funded.
Okay. It's more if you wanted to say...
It's out of phase one, right, supposedly.
Well, no, it's in this year's budget.
Yeah, right. Right.
But something like the COBO grant, $150,000.
Right. Yeah. I might want to have some of those. Do you have one? Well, there's two issues there. We had a question on developing land, and basically, if it's an urban renewal district, although it's not in the city limits, it becomes a little more of an issue, although we did do it for the college.
This is city renewal.
Yeah, you're still urban renewal district, so you can do projects with, even though it's not in the city limits. Generally, what happens when we do this, that you are now wanting to incorporate and become, get the city services and the sewer. When the sewer comes along, it's almost, I think you actually, when you buy property out there, you actually have to tell them at a certain stage you're going to be in the city.
I just signed that.
Yeah.
You have to
read
I
that in.
I just signed something that said the sewer is coming.
You have to pay, you have to hook up.
Yeah, you have
when to. I bought my house was the year they were putting the sewer in that area. And that was it. You had to do it. You had to pay for the sewer.
So why aren't they
you
up
have
up
to
on
hook up.
Land?
Pardon me?
Let me just read. Someone, Pat O'Connor, wrote a letter, and I think we just need to get it in so that it's on the record
and
here.
In the city? Well,
excuse me, Joyce. So that he's just basically saying, hi, Derek, congratulations on completion of the roundabout and other improvements on Marine Science Drive. The upgraded street improvements have dramatically transformed the entire area. Because of scheduling, he can't be here. I'll shorten that one up. He would like to put his input into the next priorities that he would like to see, and that would be street improvements, paving and sidewalks on Ash Street, which would be coming down from the college and turning north at Ash. This improvement would dramatically improve traffic flow from the northern portion, part of South Beach, and encourage local traffic to stay off of Highway 101. And then secondly would be the closure of Ferry Slip at 101 connection, and that's something that ODOT would like to also see. This move would help improve safety in closing the angle intersection. I know Chuck's has difficulty getting across that street too.
Then also the signalization of 40th and 101, and there is a trip count that is going to be triggered someday when more housing is developed up in that area or some particular potential property is developed on either side where you are, Rich, or where CR, what do they call it? GVM, yeah, the other larger piece of property there, they've basically cleared a section there. So when anything goes in, ODOT's going to require a signalization there, and that'll assist in smooth traffic flow for those pushing to go south, and then from east, southeast 40th. Then the extension of southeast 35th Street to Highway 101 intersection, this modification will facilitate the flow of traffic for residents who live in the Idaho Point area. Sincerely, Pat O'Connor.
Is there money set aside already for that signal?
No, and it's unusual. I think we're seeing from these workshops that ODOT is putting on, and I encourage you all, now it's too late because they're almost done.
We'll still have
one more. Okay, so that when you go there, I've noticed that, as Derek has, that they're putting on these things, and they're putting their people up, and they're not saying that we'll contribute anything, but we want urban renewal, the city or private developers to basically pay for it all. And if you're so inclined, you might put a comment in there that maybe the state would encourage them to help us out.
Yes.
Stubby, one thing. So the signalization of 40th currently is listed as being paid for now by all developers.
But the developers are not being required to put money aside at this point.
No, currently there's no plan, which would be, there's, I guess, some input on having a bank, latecomers agreement, or something along those lines, but nothing's been
established. No, I think what we'd end up, the way it's set up right now is that they'd be eligible for an SDC credit, some development charging credit, because the signal will likely be an expense that's above and beyond what only their development would warrant. That other developments that come in that would take advantage of that, that's additional capacity, and under our system development charge program, if you're doing an improvement that's above and beyond what your development necessitates, then you're eligible for a credit. So they may end up, I don't think the signal at 40th is insurmountable. I mean, I think the development of the JVR site or some of these other properties is going to hit that warrant, and that signal will happen. That, you know, when you talk to somebody like the Lowe's, or you're talking about any of the larger commercial developers, the signal's not a big deal. Other issues that are off-site can be big deals. The biggest issue we have with South Beach in terms of trying to figure out how it's ever going to be funded would be the additional travel lanes. So we're not sure how we're going to pull that off. And that's the kind of stuff you can't ask a developer to do reasonably. I mean, it's just unreasonable to be looking for that from any individual developer.
But,
so.
But it's likely that ODOT would say there has to be more lanes now. What one development is going to trigger enough traffic that
what we're trying to do through
four lanes.
What we're trying to do through this transportation system plan update is to get some predictability on that very question, so that folks aren't left going, well, what kind of, you know, what are they going to be asking above and beyond this traffic signal?
And part of that's going to be that they're going to require, or they're going to need an additional right of way to be able to facilitate larger lanes. Right now, it's 100 feet below about 35th or right where Halco is, and then it goes to 80 on out. And so they're going to need at least 100 or more, 115 feet. And the problem on one side, you have ditches that can be filled in, and there's already drainage points established. The other side is where perhaps the wetland mitigation issue comes up, and it's just hard for folks that they. Developers, I've talked to them, they say, well, give me a figure, I can figure out my budget. But if you say, well, we don't know, we don't know where to get it, and we're not sure how long it's going to take, they move on. They don't do that. So that's right. Something that I'm hoping that, I talked to, somebody, NOAA, and there's one group in there willing to work with that, and they out of contact, I can give you a card, I think, actually, the lady. So those are items that we can work with, and I think Brain Science Center had a mitigation bank a little bit, and I know the aquarium did, but they lost it because of to keep track. So there's issues like that. Chuck, do you have any other items that you're talking about? What, you're down there all the time. What is it, anything that you think that could, small monies, or we've got, what, 450? Is there anything that?
Well, I think my biggest concern is that, as an example, 35th Street is an intersection, has been something that ODOT has repeatedly said needs to happen if they were ever going to develop anything behind Toby Murray Motors, commercial venue. And it would seem like, similar to what Janet was saying, the various nodes that exist, 35th Street, 40th Street, are the two key nodes that exist right now for with developable parcels that are within the tax base. And it seems like 35th and 40th Street intersections with 101 should be given a little bit more attention, specifically on 35th Street on the west side. I don't think we have enough right-of-way to develop an intersection there, and I think we should look at that and determine whether we do, and if we don't, what would it take us to get a little bit more property there? So purchase some of those right-of-way areas so that if something does happen, as an example, behind Toby Murray Motors, that the 35th Street is not an impediment to that development.
I got a quick question, Derek. Maybe you can't answer right now, but so we've got the 11-12 already budgeted. So if the $450,000 that we're anticipating over the next two fiscal years comes in, as you said in the presentation, we're estimating everything based on a 7.1% growth. Since this plan was put into effect 3 or 4 years ago, has the growth reached the 7.1% level, and are we anticipating that to be a continual, accurate growth level, or are we potentially going to have to adjust that estimate based on the kind of dollars that are coming in? And then if that does happen, are we going to have to adjust that $450,000 figure and everything else we're talking about tonight? I mean, is there some predictability or certainty, or are we really uncertain about the 7.1%?
When we had Johnson redo the update, when NOAA came in, that update was a 2010 update. And so the charts you have in that seventh amendment to the plan are actually, were done in 2010, so they're not that old.
Okay.
We did have Johnson and Reed take a look at the assumptions in terms of growth, and they were quite comfortable with 7.1%.
Okay, good.
That certainly may need to be adjusted in the future.
Right.
But
okay.
Fortunately, the information we have in there is not that old.
Okay.
Good part, too, is that Johnson and Reed, I believe, did the plan for the Warrington area, and they had an area there that their urban renewal or their port district came in and identified just what we're talking about here. How do you get the infrastructure down? All the developers came in, Home Depot and Costco and some of their car dealers, and they came in and are buying up property there. And I happened to call up one of the guys from Johnson Reed, and he said, well, is this unusual? He said, no, we are conservative, and I think we mentioned even Ari was somewhat conservative, but this was good because when a plan comes in, the developers know what they're up against, and that was what the big point was.
Yes.
And I think that's what our issue is, because as you identified, we don't have a lot of funds available. We can leverage them, which is great. I think that anytime we can do that. Anybody else have anything? Art?
I'd like us to spend a little bit of time talking about the $100,000 left in phase one for parks, and if anybody has any concepts or ideas what we should be doing with that.
Well, let me close to clarify that. It isn't budgeted as $100,000, but it has an amount of money that we item that you could spend it, but it's,
yeah,
you'd have to actually appropriate it. So is it important to people to...
Yeah, that's, I mean, that's part of phase one.
Okay. Any input on that?
Well,
I know Joyce would like to buy more parks.
I do have some input, but go ahead, David.
Just real clarification. The $100,000 that Mark mentioned is part of the overall $450,000 that we were talking about over the next two fiscal years beyond this current fiscal year. So
yeah.
I just want to, I mean, we just to make sure we're clear on that. So
it's not
over and above the 450, it's part of the 450.
It's part of that.
Yeah.
It's part of the menu.
Right.
It's part of the original plan,
right,
was to spend X amount of dollars in parks.
Right.
That's all.
I would comment on it.
Sure.
Excuse me. This is a repeat. And I know Chuck said this too, is I think that dollars should go into the private part. And parks are wonderful, but we've got a really hard economy right now. And I think it should be looked at the 35th Street, 40th Street, Ash Street drainage. We can do a park at a later date. A park probably will not bring in a commercial tenant or a developer. And we can use the money from them to help build really good parks. I think with this economy, a park would be of that, to take 25% of what's left to spend on a park would be ill-advised. I think we can use it a lot better for infrastructure and developments to bring in growth.
Anybody else? Comment?
Does South Beach have a park?
Mike Miller.
Wilder Park, Mike Miller. There's a couple.
At the college. Okay.
They were talking about initially one time about there were pocket parks that we thought about. One would be out towards the end of 35th Street and perhaps one over on the Cahoe Brandt area as far as little parks. But no one had bought the property. That was some things, there were sites that they looked at.
So is this what that 100,000 would be doing? Is
potentially, if you came like up, those? I mean, there's a, in theory, if people were to say, this is what we want to use the rest of, some of the money for, they have a, without amending the plan, you could use 100,000 more.
But there's no dedicated.
There's no dedicated
plan for a specific $100,000.
No, it's all up in the.
It's actually parks slash open space. Is that correct?
Right. Yeah. We don't have an open space policy. We need to work on.
What's helped to me is, you know, in listening to Mark and Rich, I mean, this is good because I'm hearing, you know, and I'm not saying you each are committed to that perspective, but there's different perspectives as to how to use this.
Yes. Yeah.
$450,000, assuming it's going to come in as projected over the next two fiscal years. I guess what's been helping. No. It's the $450,000 that will be coming in.
$450,000 is available because it's part of the last.
Cash in hand.
It's cash in hand.
Well, I thought you said it was for not to be utilized until two fiscal years for the next year.
No, it's the $450,000 is available for expenditure over the next two fiscal years.
Okay, yeah, okay, that's.
I don't think they're necessarily in conflict because seeing open space is something that you could. Again, if we're talking about a 40th Street node, that's the end of the railroad right-of-way. Could you do something with enhancing that as open space that would be attractive to a developer that would come in?
Well, maybe a good idea there would be.
I wasn't necessarily advocating for spending on parks. I'm just saying it's in there. And if people have ideas about what they thought would happen with parks, because there is not a park in South Beach.
Not that it's really visible or.
Yeah.
I mean,
Mark, that gets back to what I said earlier. What helpful to me is there's different perspectives as to how to use the money, whether it's, even like, as Janet said, combining the two. I'm just curious at some point as to what are the projects that kind of rise to the top as far as how to utilize the money based on these kind of discussions, and we're not going to resolve it tonight, but that's kind of what helps me is, where is the emphasis on what projects based on these different perspectives?
What happens to system development charges for parks?
Well,
you still collect,
Oxy would pay into system development for parks. They kick it out.
NOAA pays system development charges for parks.
The port actually paid.
The port did.
Yeah.
But so.
Well, wait a minute. Most commercial developments don't pay parks. Excuse me. NOAA probably did not. No, they definitely did not. Okay. Parks is paid. Parks SDCs are paid by residential development or motels, hotels, things of that nature.
So any development that is promoted by infrastructure that is residential or commercial in nature,
tourism type related,
would generate monies for parks.
Doesn't the parks SDC?
That don't necessarily have to stay in South Beach, but they could be used in South Beach.
Certainly, they can be used citywide.
And are not necessarily within the South Beach urban renewal budget area, is that what you're saying?
Right. Yeah. The other thing that to tie in with that, your concern here for open space is that if you were to develop something from, let's say, 40th at Ash and a connection all the way maybe on a multimodal pathway paralleling Mike Miller and have to go through a little bit of Stoker property there, that would then tie in with property that Will Emery will have, which ties into a trail all the way out to the airport. So that would be maybe an item that people want to look at is you've got to get. You don't buy the road now when the property values are down, you're going to pay a little more later, or not at all. Yes,
I just have a process question because I'm getting tired. Yeah. I'm working all day too. We're not making any decisions today. I'm assuming this is the beginning, or just part of the process, and we'll be having another opportunity to have comments and discuss priorities maybe in a couple months? It's just kind of ongoing? Is that your
Well, I don't know. We're going to have too much ongoing. We'll have it, certainly, maybe we're all taking mental notes and the staff's looking at it, and our commission here is finding out what is important. Again, there's only perhaps only $450,000 currently, so it's going to be a priority. I'm hearing infrastructure first, and then certainly anything that enhances people to build in that area would be, even livability is certainly a big issue.
I was just going to throw a couple things at
Sure.
One. Just a couple things to keep in mind. We will, for us to act on the tsunami, the budgeted items, the tsunami evacuation area and the reconstruction of the estuary trail, we will need to do a minor amendment to the plan, which is what we did for NO and what we did for other things. So it's not uncommon, but that's going to be a minor amendment. There'll be a public process for that. For folks to weigh in as to whether or not that is or isn't appropriate. And the Urban Renewal Agency can say whether or not they want us to move forward with that amendment or not. That's their prerogative. So that's one process piece, so to speak. The other, and I'll leave it to the Urban Renewal Agency, is at some juncture there'll probably need to be a discussion about what next fiscal year looks like and whether or not any of that $450,000 should be allocated for projects next year or not. And I'm not sure what the timing that would be, but that would definitely be a conversation.
It would have to come before we start in on budget hearings.
Ideally. Sure.
Yeah. And then may or may not trigger another minor amendment.
Right, depending on what the project is.
If we're changing phases or doing something.
We talked about this during the budget process.
The good thing is perhaps though you've got in theory $200,000 allocated for Safe Haven Hill. If he can leverage that, I can't envision how you can spend that much money even to put a gravel road up on the outside, but you know, they could do something like that, especially if you can leverage it. But then the next second thing is this going to happen now or later? We don't know the permit process. Is it, like Chuck mentioned, you can't have dogs out here, so how important is that trail as compared to maybe improvements in this area? So, and maybe that could be leveraged too. This is the federal, this is not owned by anybody except for the, I guess I'm not sure who owns it. The port owns the property. Okay.
Yeah.
The port, you know, you come to the Bank of Newport all the time. Yeah. So the port ought to be kicking in more money for their property than a Newport, I personally, but that's my opinion.
They charge $1 a year, I think.
They do, they charge $1. So, but I think that any other final points you guys want to wrap up with?
Is this the time to ask dumb questions
now? No, it's really time is a good question.
Okay. Is the $200,000 for the trails you just talked about beyond the $450,000 or within the $450,000?
Well, the $200,000, to clarify, is basically to evidently get access up.
I know what it's for, but is it part of the $450,000?
No.
Okay, so that's, are there any other projects that are that are going to be done and already budgeted besides those? Ash Street, is that going to be paved outside of the port?
Yeah, Ash Street's.
Okay, I'd like to hear that list again.
Ash Street
will be constructed.
Okay.
The water and sewer line extension from 40th to 50th, that's $600,000, that's budgeted, and that'll be constructed.
Okay.
And then we had the planning work for the neighbor here, the Coho Brant neighborhood, right. That's $70,000, that's budgeted.
And then trail that you were just talking about, the estuary.
The coastal gully open space is also
completed. The gully package is completed. This is budgeted.
That's also budgeted.
Reconstructed. And then this evacuation area is budgeted.
And then the final question, what's the name of that street that goes down below the hill and you're going to punch?
Abalone.
Okay, that's not budgeted. That might come with the OMSI project or something?
OMSI project, yeah.
Okay, great.
Typically when a development comes in, they are responsible for front-end improvements, and that's what we'll be talking about.
Is that their access point? What is the OMSI access point?
It's likely here, but here's probably where we're going to be.
I see.
They've talked about what it would look like to be down here. This doesn't look very advantageous, so probably
a lot more expensive.
Yeah. They have the property under contract. They have to close it on that in December. They need to do some reconfiguration of the property before they close, so they'll be submitting a plat to us here before too long. They're actively working on coming up with the design for the site. That's what I understand at this point. They just did their phase one environmental, which is part of their process. They just had those folks out there last week. So they're moving ahead.
So they're buying it from the Bunn family?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, is that?
Yeah.
I'll be darned. So they're with Home Depot.
Anybody else?
So, yes, I still am unclear because of all this about the public amenities, the parks and open space allocation that originally was $500,000 and then got reduced to $350,000 on the basis of the ORPD grant, which we did not receive. So then that got reduced, and there's basically $225,000 left in of the $350,000, but that is not in, that would come out of the $450,000. Is that what you're saying, or is that money there?
Some portion of that is the estuary trail reconstruct, but...
Pardon me?
Well, what happens there, Joyce, to me, in other words, we've got $450,000 to divide out to whatever is most appropriate, and you can't spend more than that amount, but you might not be able to spend any of that amount. So whatever priority rises to the top.
I understand about the priorities, and I agree with really a lot of what's been said, but I'm still trying to understand if there is any money that has been allocated for open space.
You know what came out of that? That 350 was the acquisition of the lots. Mm-hmm. Three lots came out of that.
Yeah, we used that
right
money for the lots.
No, we used $125,000. There's $200,000. We used $225,000?
Yeah.
Okay, so there still is $125,000.
And that's currently allocated towards the trail.
Towards what trail?
Well, we have like...
If you're looking at just...
Yeah, it'd be like $100,000. You got $100,000 for trail easement acquisition. I think that's part of the estuary trail. And I think there's like $20,000 out of public amenities.
Which is okay, but those things have not been budgeted for.
Budgeted, but it's a minor plan amendment that's required before we could act on it.
So if their idea would be is if you didn't want it to go to there, you'd make a testimony to that effect, have it some other place. So that would be the time and place to
discuss that. So that money is available, but
it's not approved.
It's not approved, but it's there. Yeah. It's not part of the $450,000.
Correct.
Okay. Well, then that's different than what when Mark asked about the $100,000 that was left or $125,000. We're saying now that has been allocated.
No, there's a different.
I'm trying to figure out where to jump in on what I have in mind.
The sentiment that I'm hearing is that people are really wondering whether the estuary trail is a good place to spend $100,000. And maybe there's some other issues that might rise to the top.
I just want to say how much we're enjoying Green Science Drive, the improvements along there, and thank you to the city for that, because the trail, the multi-use trail is really getting a lot of use.
Oh, it's good.
It's cool. Any trail we put on the little tiny Beta Beach trail under by Agate Beach, I run that and people walk it all the time, no matter night, all winter long. So any trails we can put in, they're really important.
Our chain link fence along Marine Science Drive is suddenly an eyesore, so we're looking at a way to remove that.
You can put ivy on it.
Right.
Well, thank you guys. Anything else? Bring up, talk to Derek, and then we can get it to us. And
so, Jeff, I'm not trying to schedule meetings, but our council meets every twice a month. So, just timing wise, since we're looking at potentially making some minor amendment changes, not only for this current fiscal year, but also to talk about the next two fiscal years, when would you like, as Chair of Urban Renewal, to revisit this with not only these folks, but maybe do more outreach and get more folks from South Beach here to get even more input? I mean, what's your sense is?
Well, I think if you haven't done so, put your name and contact information so that Derek can get to it. He sent out information to a piece of paper to pretty much everybody in the home.
Everybody in the district.
So these are the people that show up. So
let's have a meeting in South Beach.
Good idea.
Really?
We can do that at the community center.
Community center, at the Marine Science Center, at the community college. Let's have a meeting in their neighborhood.
Here's an idea.
I'm karaoke night.
I'm sure the agenda's being set for the next council meeting. What would be nice potentially is, why don't we just add an urban renewal short meeting after the council meeting, after our first meeting after Labor Day, maybe try and figure out some scheduling for having meetings in South Beach for October, November? Because if the budget cycle is starting next year, for 2012-13, maybe we should start engaging in this rather than waiting until the last minute when the budget's sitting in front of us.
Yeah, Dean doesn't know it yet, but he's got an assignment.
And we'll give Dick the assignment as well.
we can have our first one in South.
Our first town hall in South Beach.
So, well, yeah, that'd be a good idea. I think
so Dean, get the lights turned on.
You hear that, and we'll schedule it just to make sure we'll meet our next meeting. We'll discuss meeting times and places. Yeah.
And after that, will there be opportunity for individual people to discuss what they have in mind, what they think we could do with the 450 and what everybody is? Okay.
Because we'll give you Derek's extension number. He's
no, we Derek and I like are already on the online.
Got an MRI. Check this. Write that in your hand right there.
Right. Derek's no, I have it in my mind.
No, so this will close it up. But I think that we'll be able to discuss the time and meetings unless. You probably won't need to be there for that, but we'll obviously let you know when the next scheduled meeting will be, and we'll need some staff time to go through and maybe look at these things.
And maybe you know the other thing we should do when you get into the budget season is have a special meeting for urban renewal budget in South Beach as just that particular focus too. So we just
that's a possibility, but I think Piggy would go nuts on that. Well, thank you very much, guys, for showing up, and I guess we'll adjourn the meeting. Thank you.
Okay.
Nice job, Dan.
And come to vote for him. Dennis. Hi. They live on 62nd Street.
No, I have a property that's been splitting.
Very nice.
Thank you.